So I think that I've made it very, very clear throughout my podcasts as to my understanding of the nature of space and time and why they must be infinite. I believe that if you start all your standard models, right now we have multiple standard models that define what we call the gamut of all our knowledge. And each standard model shares the same base foundation. And that current foundation is basically an assumption as to the true nature of space and time. It's either we don't know, we'll call it speculation and pretend that it's not possible, which is kind of silly, and call it speculation, or we consider, you know, our universe finite. If anything, just by understanding general relativity and special relativity, how could you not understand that there must be a succession of parent frames of reference? There can be no, start to time, end to time, start to space, end to space. Okay? If you start all your standard models with a premise of that infinitely vast and eternal universe, and then try to examine what those implications would be, all of our mysteries, nearly all mysteries, dissolve, unravel at our feet. My comprehensive and complete theory of everything is a pretty bold statement to make. So trust me, I realize that when I make that statement, it should be met with extreme skepticism. But I do hope, with an open mind and the ability to, you know, retain the ability to conduct critical thought and analyze what I say, I'm either a crackpot or I'm not. And off on another tangent we go. So what were we talking about? Shit. So, by accepting what we already know about general relativity and special relativity, it becomes absolutely obvious, if not impossible to be any other way, than to understand that everything we see is relative to us. We can only see the time that's relative to us and the space that's relative to us. But to make an assumption, to try to say we could be the only possible tiny speck of mass and energy in an infinite amount of space and time, or to try to conceive of anything that is finite or bounded with nothing outside of it. Okay, you just can't. You can't have a boundary. Even if our space-time was a torus, it still has to exist inside of a larger 4D Minkowski space-time. Okay? You can use Euclidean space-time to, you know, mimic reality, but it's really not the best way. The true way to visualize space-time and the true natural state of nature is through polar coordinate mapping, because everything is relative to everything else based on measurements that you could take from any given object compared to any other object. And so there is a time it takes to get to every other object, and that could be extended outwards as a light sphere in all directions. The gravitational waves that a body with mass produces also moves at the speed of light. So there are spheres of influence that extend a body's gravity or luminosity or heat. Heat's traveling through infrared radiation. Cosmic rays, x-rays, all of these move at the speed of light. And they move in spheres outwards. So when we try to think about gravity, we can oversimplify gravity, you know, using a very special case of general relativity with only two bodies. If you apply general relativity where there are only two bodies, you can derive Newton's law of gravitation. But it's not a single line of attraction that's really occurring. You have two overlapping gravity wells of two bodies, and the overlapping gravity wells are distorting space-time for the movement of the other body. And it's happening at many, many different points in space-time. So it's not just like a line of attraction between two bodies. It's millions, if not billions, of intersecting points between those two overlapping gravity wells. And that's just with two bodies. When you throw together a solar system like ours with the millions of objects, many, 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 many overlapping gravity wells of all different strengths and sizes and shapes, technically, distorting all those different areas of localized space-time in different ways. The aggregation of those different overlapping gravity wells, I don't think we've fully investigated. And I do believe that with a whole shitload of very, very precise synchronized chronometers sent to all different parts of our solar system for a certain amount of time in certain areas of our solar system, we can prove that there's different points of time dilation, very minor, but due to all the, you know, specific points where they're the highest overlapping gravity wells, we would expect to see potentially the greatest time dilation. And that aggregation of those gravity wells in turn could be one of the facets of dark matter that's being overlooked. Something like the bullet cluster is a perfect example of the type of gravitational attraction that happens through overlapping gravity wells. And when those overlapping gravity wells are created by pockets of space-time sharing the same relative trajectory and relative velocity, thus the gravitational waves are in phase and increasing even further, you have a more complete understanding of dark matter. And off onto the tangents we go. Lost track of my thoughts again.